I thought it was so precious how God again encouraged our hearts to be encouraged today and a little bit as of late, but always too, in the precious Holy Ghost and the power of His might and the one who takes all the things of Christ and shows them and makes them mine. And there you got the one that's going to take you. And as Jesus told those beloved disciples, oh, I have so many things to say unto you. But you know what, honey, you just can't bear them now. You can't understand them. You know, that Spirit of Truth, you know, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, He's been with you. But He shall be in you. And Jesus said, oh, I must go to the Father, so I will send Him. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, very God of very God. See, He had to ascend, and He was the one that would send Him. There's a romantic undertone in that. Let it carry you away of what's going on here. And, you know, there were many things to be ministered of, and we know that it was the Holy Ghost that ministered those things to man to write prophets of old and all those things. But how much more intimate it got to think how the Lord ascended to send Him to us. To send Him to us. And not to have man minister to us, but to have the power of His might minister to us. Ooh, I lost all the hairs. They popped off my body there. But it is true, isn't it? I mean, aren't you thankful you know that? I mean, I'm thankful I know Him. But boy, to know the love of Christ like that. Thank you, Jesus. But let's go ahead and we'll move on a little further tonight in rejoicing in the wonderful Holy Ghost that the Lord has given to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you'll turn there. And I think we'll just kind of get into right where we're going to get into in verse 2. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians verse 2, it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue..." Now this is again speaking of speaking in tongues. "Speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." Now think of that, and we'll speak of in context to the chapter and the meaning here in a moment, but really get into looking at the beauty of this particular verse. When we speak in tongues in our prayer life, we're speaking unto God and not unto man. And I love that gift of the Holy Ghost that the Word assures us, gives us utterance of a language and an understanding that is solely for the Father. Communion, if you will, in the Spirit with Him. Now, I thank the Lord. I hear amongst very like precious faith brethren, praise God. And I know that by His grace we know these things. But it's these mysteries that we speak unto Him I want to dwell on. And more importantly, it's not I want to dwell on, God wants to dwell on a bit tonight. But see, no man understands this tongue but the Father. When we speak only unto Him by the Spirit, these mysteries. And these mysteries are such a wonderful thing, as we'll get into a little bit tonight, because it's not just meaning here that these are things that are not understood by human ear or comprehended by man, but this word mysteries, it means hidden and secret things. It specifically means in these mysteries that we speak to God in the language of the Holy Ghost that we are given when we are filled, we speak secret things to Him. It goes on in depth of meaning that we speak unto Him His secret will, His hidden purpose, and I believe maybe the sweetest definition of this, we speak His hidden vision that is in us. Isn't that something? We speak His hidden vision that is in us. Now, sometimes I think about that hidden vision, and I wonder how hidden it was. I wonder what I was speaking unto Him even early on, in my walk with God after being filled with the Holy Ghost? And what were those mysteries that were already given and hidden in my heart? And yet, that walk by His grace in the Holy Ghost over these years, in sitting at that well, how, again, He's taken the deeper things and the deeper things and the deepest things, and He's made them known to me. Hallelujah. So we praise God for this. But these mysteries is that we speak in tongues. What this is saying here is our vision. And as we go on with God, truly, because I want us to make sure we understand, you know, there are brothers and sisters that are filled with the Holy Ghost that do not know the bridal truth. Matter of fact, most Pentecostals do not know of the bridal truth. They don't. It's very unfortunate, because you would think that, my goodness, that's the whole intent of being filled with the Holy Ghost, is that we would, what, be led into all truth. Amen? So that power and that provision is there, but you could even say the same thing about salvation. Why does someone, what is the purpose of salvation? Obviously, to save us, but the true meaning of that is to be born of God. Amen? That we're born again. Well, what was the purpose of being born again as an infant, a child, is what? To grow up. Amen? And see, we know that in the perfect plan of God and in the wonderful purpose of the beauty of His amazing and intense love is that we would grow up into that life in us, grow up into His Son, into Him in all things. Amen. Like Him. Praise God. See, we didn't get a life that was like Jesus Christ's life. We got His very life. That's the only life, praise the Lord, that is given to any son of God, because that is the requirement. It has to be the life of the only begotten, the first fruit that would come in to us, that we would be born of God in one life. That's why, praise God, He has no grandsons, He has no nieces, nephews, there's no extended family in that regard. We're all sons of God, and now are we the sons of God. So we praise Him for this. But you see, the mysteries we speak in tongues, what this is really inferring here is the vision that is within us. The vision that we have yielded to the Spirit, that we have allowed Him to work in us to see. Because we know that the will of God is that all men be saved and come to the full, exact, complete, and intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, He's not a respecter of person. I know that some people walk around and think, well, you know, God just favors me more than He favors you. No, He doesn't. God has no favorites. He doesn't. He is not a respecter. But the fellowship that you take of Him and enter into with Him, that again is that exalted rank of righteousness that's there for every child of God. Every child of God, it's there for. But will you go? Will you go? Will you enter in to that fellowship? Will you come into that knowledge? Will, by the grace of God, you allow the Holy Ghost to cause you to fall in love with how deeply you are loved by Him? And if it is to the fullest, you'll have that love and reciprocate that love. And you know what I'm talking about. But you don't dwell on your love for Him. You just dwell on His love for you. And then that is what gives us the capacity to love Him in the way that He always wanted to be loved. I absolutely thank God for that vision, that as the Father said to Him, it is not good for man to live alone. And that plan of God was to give to His Son that bride that would love Him in the equal wherewith she is loved. It's amazing. Now, some don't like to hear that. Now, wait a second. Let me tell you something. When He tells you that you can know the love of Christ, and we went through that about what that word know means, and you best lay hold of it. You can try to throw it off or whatever, but that is the most intimate knowledge between a husband and a wife. That's the example that He gives us. And anybody who ever marries someone You don't want to marry someone that you love more than they love you. That's a mistake. That's a problem. You love someone so much, and they love you in return in that same capacity. And that is a marriage. That is a marriage. And that's God's plan in marriage for his son. And the only way that I can receive that love is by faith and believing him. And he'll grow that up in me. That it is totally the grace of God. But I can have this wonderful Holy Ghost shed the love of God abroad so in my heart that I can believe his word and the promises, and yea, the deep things of his promises, that he can transform, oh, this wretched man, into the glory that will descend for him someday. And that's the truth. So, thank you, Lord, that we see this. But see, it's the Spirit that speaks the mystery of the vision that we have allowed him to give us. So, in that, and we thank God, again, for however Christ is preached and however Christ is received. Now, I know many, many Pentecostal saints filled with the Holy Ghost, but the majority of them that I know still wrestle with their eternal security. And that's the truth. Can you imagine that? Love shed abroad in your heart. You have that one that is right there to do it, and here you're still wrestling with the very base and foundation of the love of God. But you see what you can receive of him and still not believe? What he has endowed and endued you with? Oh my goodness. That's where I just say, Lord, but for the grace of God, there go I again. But for him to be magnified and only him to be exalted, and understanding that at the greatest extent of what he says there, that we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. He does it all. And by his grace, I take the grace of God just to believe and rest in that. Amen. But now I realize in this portion of scripture with you that we're being encouraged here with the gifts to the church. So those that know this portion of scripture, and this is very vital in really understanding and rightfully dividing the truth, because some and many get confused with this, try to turn this in order to try to satisfy themselves, I hate to say it, in denying the infilling of the Holy Ghost for their life. They'll try to turn it into, well, I'm saved, so I'm filled, and you're not. It's a separate experience. We went over those verses today in the testimony of what the Lord wanted to give us, and it was exact. And I was so thankful for some of the lives that were here today. How God is so perfect in his timing. And, you know, some that wrestle with it, you kind of feel bad a little bit for. But let me tell you something. You're coming up against God. He loves you with a perfect love. And if you're going to come around his word, you're going to get his word. And thank the Lord that we're not ashamed of it, but we want to preach it in love. And I thank the Lord when we do preach it in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, that's all that it is going to be, because that's what the Holy Ghost is that love shedder. Amen. So we know in this portion of scripture that this is the gifts to the church. And as the word of God says in here that, you know, in the, we're to pray for these gifts. Do you know that? You're to pray to prophesy. You want to pray for the gift of healing. You want to pray for that gift of faith. And you want to pray for the gift of interpretation. You do. You want to be able to interpret. I think you continue to pray as Paul says here. Now, this isn't something that's gone on and reminded over and over in the Word of God, but these are the gifts to the church. This is that the church would be edified, that it would be spiritually encouraged in the things of God. And I thank the Lord that we do believe the Word of God, and that in believing the Word of God, he gives us those gifts freely in this meeting. We know that. We know that we have ones that have the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation and, praise God, the gift of prophecy. And thank the Lord that it's evident. Thank the Lord that it encourages us. But thank the Lord that we do not magnify the gifts. We magnify the giver. We magnify him. And we thank God for this because it does encourage us, because we need to be encouraged. But make sure we know this too, that when we pray to interpret, you see, what we're praying then for is that we would have the gift of tongues. Understand again today, and this is so sweetly simple to understand the Word of God. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the evidence of the gift of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. But in the church, when this is speaking of here, the gift of tongues is different, and it's a separate thing than the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have the evidence of speaking in tongues. But when we have the gift of tongues, that is for the church, and that means that that interpretation will follow. That is exactly what this is for. That's exactly what this portion of Scripture is speaking of. Just because you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues does not mean you have the gift of tongues. It's separate and it's different. And the reason that we know this so clearly here is these are the gifts to the church. And when you just sit there and you just say, all right, I get that, because it is. It's a cookie on the shelf because the Spirit will bring that to you. There were times in my life, and I'm telling you, after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, even in my 20s, I didn't really see this until I probably was in my mid-20s. Because so many people talk about this in such goofy ways. I'm so sorry to say that. And even people that know it, well, here, let me try to be scientific about it. It's just beautifully simple. These gifts are for the church. This is in the setting, just like we're in right now. I wouldn't, by the grace of God, just, even though if I was starting to worship God, I know that he'll give me by faith that language that would come over me, because I believe him for that. But I know it's not appropriate right now to just break out into that. Amen. Now, from time to time, he has given me that gift to understand that. But most of the time, I'm telling you, I don't have that, in a sense, in that for that moment. Just like the gift of healing. He may give that gift for one healing, in a sense, for you to pray over somebody in your life. But yet there's some that will think that, oh, I'm so special, I just have this gift, and I'll go out there and magnify myself in the gift. That was the problem with the Corinthians. They began to magnify them, their flesh, magnifying, in a sense, their flesh in this gift. But once they moved from magnifying the Lord, there wasn't anything to magnify there except really their self-righteousness. And this is what this encourages us here, is that yes, pray that we may interpret. And the reason we want to interpret is that it would edify the meeting. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that in his faithfulness, he has given us different ones in our precious meeting that have the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. Praise God. And they will be together, because they can't be separate. Because the gift of tongues has to have the gift of interpretation. Because if a tongue went out without an interpretation, that wasn't the gift of tongues. It was out of order. Know it. I've seen it happen in different meetings and things of that nature. Unfortunately, so out of order. But God showed us this. We didn't need to see it on TV. You can read it right here in Corinthians. And it's a mess. And you need to pray. Just like when you have family members, and we've all been in that place before, but when you got a brother or sister that's out of whack in their life and they're just kind of blind to something, doesn't mean that they're not related to you anymore, even though you're thinking, oh, wait a second, there couldn't be any DNA in that, me. But no, you really know that you love one another and you want to heal So we pray. But let this word also encourage us. And this is what specifically the Lord's laid on our hearts tonight. Edifying yourself in the spirit, in the tongue that the Lord has given you in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, when you worship alone with Him, it's essential and it's good and it's vital, as we heard today, in part of the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our life. It's a precious thing. It's marvelous. That's why Paul says in this same chapter, verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. See, he was grateful for that. He was so thankful and rejoicing, because he knew and realized in his life from experience, and the Spirit again encouraging him, that this was part of that beautiful fullness and encouragement that he needed all the time. I'll tell you what, I'm sure he had some great prayer meetings alone in that prison, didn't he? You know it. Praise God, it had to be. So we thank the Lord for it. But he says, I'm glad, I'm thankful to my God, I speak more than you all. He loves and glories in that spiritual encouragement the tongue language brings to him. But as it says in verse 19, he says, yet in the church, I had rather speak just 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Praise God for the love of the saints like that. Now, after service, though, when we get up here and we're worshiping God, we're worshiping Him. This is individual time. Even though we've gathered together, this is an individual time where we're worshiping the Lord. Praise God that we come together that way. But in the meeting, in the service, that's why, thank you, Lord, for your grace, and thank you for your perfect love and your perfect truth that can encourage our lives to walk in that perfect way, that this doesn't just go out of whack and become a strange fire. And it could, but for God, and we thank Him for that. But when we gather and come together, it's about the body being edified. But when we worship alone, by the grace of God, continue to ask the Lord, Lord, have me to follow Paul as he followed you. And Lord, give me that desire that I speak more than they all. Amen? And it's a precious and wonderful thing. I've heard some ones lately with loved ones in their life really wanting this encouragement in those that they love. And obviously there's so many prayer requests, and we thank God for it. But it is, it's a yielding, it's an evidence. Thank the Lord that He has us to yield to come to church or yield to read the Word of God. But there's something about giving Him your tongue, because it's that last unruly thing, and you just thank the Lord. That's a very difficult thing. People can give their minds over to the Lord and, you know, take Him as Savior and believe truth and these different things. But, well, I'll tell you, when we have that surrender in our lives to really give it over to God, that's a marvelous thing. Praise God. So, that's the encouragement here in that. You praise Him for verse 39, where Brother Paul says in that same chapter, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. See, he didn't want to confuse anyone here. He's telling them very clearly, now when we come into the church and when we gather together, I'd rather just speak 5 words in interpretation, tongues in interpretation, than I would 10,000 in just the language that God has given me. And that prophesying is wonderful. All of these things are incredible. But that again is for the church setting. So for your own life, just as I'm testifying to you, I thank God I speak more than y'all. So here, get this. Forbid ye not to speak in tongues. How much clearer could that be? And you know, there's many of our precious family of God that do preach that of speaking in tongues today is of the devil. Isn't it sad? You hurt for folks. And you don't want to argue and hurt that way. But You know, it's just such a sad thing because we need this encouragement. We need this love shed abroad. And we thank God that that is part of it. But prophesying is great. It's better in the church. It's that premier gift for the church. But do not forbid. That means don't prevent. Specifically, don't withhold yourself from worshiping Jesus in tongues. That's exactly what that means. Did you hear that? Don't withhold yourself. If we're not continuing to praise God in that tongue language, it's very evident who's withholding. It's true. Praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. I believe the Lord's encouraged my heart so much because I've seen it. I know it and experience in different things. Precious grace, and every child of God's a grace saint. You know how I, and it's the truth. That's the word of God. You didn't get saved by anything but grace. But I'm talking about ones that truly have gone on with the gospel of His glorious grace, the bridal truth. There's meetings that begin to grow cold. The fire leaves that. And I believe one of the evidences of it is there's no, you know, they might go down and pray, but, you know, it's there wasn't a peep. And it's not that you're trying to work up anything, but my goodness, when you're in love, you're a David. You know, you're out there, you know, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. And that's with your voice, with a loud voice, even at times. It might make people uncomfortable, but people need to be uncomfortable. You know, that's what it was. You know, finally, you know, somebody's got to speak up if you're in love. Well, you know what? I'm in love. And, you know, you appreciate that precious brother. My mind's a little tired tonight, that king that, you know, they discovered the word of God. It had been hidden. And oh, my goodness, it was time to have a feast. It was time to blow the trumpets. The word of God has come about again. And how wonderful. And thank you, brother. And we're grateful to God how he does that. So praise his name. But I've been really rejoicing as we wrap this up tonight in the speaking these mysteries unto God as it pertained to the worthies of faith in the Old Testament. And so let me say that again. How the Lord has caused us to speak mysteries unto him, and in a sense in how it pertained or how it related to the worthies of faith in the Old Testament. And what I mean by that is how the Spirit would come upon those in the Old Testament and give them such incredible ability. But the Spirit would also come upon them and speak with them. And they would speak, praise God, back. And they would have conversation with God. And these were the mighty men and women of faith that were gifted with such great grace to speak to God in that manner. You think of Moses, how he spoke to God face to face as a friend. And Samuel, and you know, so many that the Spirit would come and give them that opportunity and that conversation of deep things. Let me tell you something. The Word is deep things. And they were being revealed deep things that no one else knew. God was revealing them, and they were speaking back to God because of the quickening of the Lord and His Spirit to have that relationship with the Godhead. But brothers and sisters, here it is for us. The Word of God assures us that yet we have a better thing. And you think in the better thing that we have is we can call out in this Spirit language to Him anytime by faith. Anytime. Praise God. See, that veil is rent in twain for us. We go boldly in there. Isn't that something? I don't mean to say this in the wrong way, and it's always on God's time, don't get me wrong, but yet He has given us greater opportunity. He's given us more intimate fellowship. And God's time is any time. Now, they could call out to God at any time, but there were times that the Spirit would come and to speak to them and back and forth. But by the grace of God, we have opportunity to enter into that Anytime. Anytime. By faith. But know this, that the mysteries that we will speak to him will only be those of the revelation that was received. That's the truth. Those mysteries that we'll speak back to him, that's what's hidden in our hearts that we speak back to him. And what a thrill and a glory with that revelation of the word that he has given to us, to think that we speak the bridal truth back to him by the grace of God. We speak that mystery to him. That mystery that was hidden from the prophets and the sons of men in that depth and mystery. See, you think of the glory and the discussions that were between God and Moses concerning Israel. I think that's fantastic. It is. It's amazing. And you think about how they would converse, and one time Moses is saying, you know, God, let's just destroy everybody. And God says, no, we're not going to do that. And then God says, you know what, Moses, let's just destroy everybody. And Moses went back, no, God, you don't want to do that, you know. And you think about what a relationship there and how beautiful that conversation. And yet you have even beyond that in spirit. Know what you have. By the grace of God, we speak unto him the coming wedlock of his son. I speak with him things as, again, the Spirit gives us utterance in it. But it's the faith which, by grace, he has developed in our lives. And I guess in closing, I remember this pretty well, actually really well. I remember when I spoke to Polly's parents about having her hand in marriage. And I expressed my heart, I expressed my devotion, I expressed my appreciation, I expressed my thankfulness for their daughter. And I think about, in some mysterious way, I know those conversations go on in such depth between me and my father for his son. And I sit there and I'm just amazed. Praise God again. I really have been rejoicing again in the perfect love and the perfect faith that his grace grows in our lives to believe him, to have that perfect heart to God, but yet being such an imperfect man. And this sin in the flesh, this corruptible, come on, but yet the perfect love of God. So, for me and for you, you wouldn't be here tonight. The Holy Ghost in us, you talk about causing us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Yea, the deep things of God by his Spirit. The Spirit gives us utterance even when we don't know how to pray. He does it. So thank him for that depth. Thank him for those mysteries that by his grace you speak unto him. So I pray that's been an encouragement to you tonight. It's a wonderful, beyond what we could ask or think. Again, what he continues to mine in us all the time. And I thank the Lord that we see in a glass darkly, and then someday fully face to face. Praise his name. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.